He delights in creating. He just takes joy in creating. You look at this world that he's created, this universe, not just this world, but this universe. He is very creative. And there's so many great things about our Father. And we get to be called as children. As we were singing that first song too, John 1:12 just came to mind for me. It hit so hard. Yet to all who did receive him and those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. By receiving what he's done and believing in him, that's it. It's what he's done. We're the passive recipients. But we get to be his kids. You know, maybe your earthly father isn't perfect. Indeed, none is. Okay, none is. But we have a perfect heavenly father who watches out for us, protects us, provides for us, and all those good things. And we are his children, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God, born again. So, Lord, we thank you for that, that we can be born again in you, that we can have new life, that your Holy Spirit would dwell within us. Lord, let us go forth in that as we enter this or go back out into this world. But while we're here, Lord, we are here to praise you. We're here to worship you. We are here to glorify you as your children. So make your presence known among us. And we're going to hear next from his word.
Today's first reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from the book of Job, chapter 11, verses 13 through 19. Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then, free of fault, you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Here ends the lessons.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Then he left the crowd and he went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church, feel free at this time. Get to do some fun activities and learn some things at your level. Wish I could go sometimes. I'm sort of a big kid, you know. Hey, can I go too? Yeah. I am a big kid, yes, in a lot of ways. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we're your kids, we're your children, that you care for us, that you seek to bless us. Lord, bless us with your word this morning. May it speak to our hearts and our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. So sometimes I'm not really sure, you know, what I'm going to be preaching on, like 2 weeks from now. What am I going to be? I got an idea on that one, I think. Okay. But you get ideas from different places. And on Monday morning, I still hadn't really heard anything solid. I was gone last Sunday, which was great. I got to worship in another place in this big brick church. It just didn't have that feeling, like the aliveness that it does here, though. So I'm out there weeding the garden on Monday. And as I'm weeding, I get to the carrots. And they're about that high at this point. And it's so easy to accidentally pull them out. As you're pulling weeds around them, boy, they can just go right out, and you got to try to put them back in and, you know, get them to grow again and to thrive. Then I thought about the weeds and the tares, or the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds, whichever you prefer there. Same thing, same parable. And got it. That's it. All righty. And yeah, that is true. As you're trying to pull out those weeds around the carrots, they're so tender at that age, it's really tough. It's no problem going down the rows between the corn. I just grab the hoe like that or else the push tiller and make it happen. That's no problem. But you got to take really care that you don't damage them. They're very vulnerable. And God takes that kind of care with us too. He doesn't want to do anything to harm us, to uproot us, even partially. And that's why he has such mercy here, we see in this parable. This parable has always sort of puzzled me, though. Why doesn't God, in his almighty, unlimited power, which he does have, we cannot put any limits on God, of course. Why doesn't he just, the weeds disappear and the wheat grows? It'd be so easy for him. It'd be nothing for him. He can speak the universe into existence. He can just take care of those weeds. Why doesn't he in this parable? I'm still, in a way, starting to struggle with that, even after studying it this week and reading a whole bunch of commentaries. But God really cares for the wheat. I guess that's what it comes down to. He cares for us that much. We are surrounded by weeds. Absolutely. They are sowed by the enemy. That's where they come from. The Son of Man sows the good seed, and we have these weeds all around us, trying to choke us out, trying to overshadow us, trying to stunt our growth. Absolutely. Where these weeds come from? While everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed them among the wheat and went away. In the early stages, it's hard to tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds. They look very similar. Same thing in the garden. That's why you don't let little kids help you weed, especially when the plants are just tiny, because it's hard to tell them apart. There's, okay, Dad, I'm going to help you. You know, done. Okay. Duh. And I don't know, it helps that they're planted in rows. You know, we can go down and tell the kids, go between these two rows, you know, stay in your lane there, and we're going to be good. But when you start getting among the good plants, especially like corn when it's coming up, and then the quack grass coming up around it. They both are setting forth a blade, aren't they? They look very similar. And you're taking a chance at that point. Now, I space my corn out, so I know if I see one coming, I know approximately where the next one is, but I might see a bunch of blades poking out. And I'll just sort of leave that alone until I can definitely tell which one is the corn, because I want that to grow. It's precious to me. Not as precious as we are to God, of course. So I'll sort of leave that go for a little bit, and then, you know, continue on down the road. And later on, then I might have to run the hoe through the whole works if no corn comes up there, but I do take that chance. And being it's planted in rows helps. Here, the seed was just scattered. It was broadcast as they're planting wheat. So you can't go by the rows. It's not like when I was learning to cultivate corn, too. I can still remember being on the old B. John Deere, my uncle riding on the hitch behind me, and when I'd start to get a little bit off, he'd, no, you know, especially in the side hills, it starts slipping a little bit, but it's easier when they're in rows, and here it's just scattered everywhere, so we can see. And then as you go in there to help to weed, you'd be stomping on the good wheat, too, wouldn't you, as you're walking in there. So there's lots of ways they can be damaged. So he says, just let them grow. It's not a part of this parable, but could you also make a case for the possibility that he wants some of the weeds to turn into wheat? Now, we can't change one species into another. Okay, you can't do that. You know, they're made that way, they're made that way. But when it comes to humans, have we all been weeds at one point or another? And did God get a hold of us, sow a spirit within us to turn us into wheat, into good seed? You know, again, that's not part of the gospel here, but it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's our God. He wants everybody to come to him. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what they've done. He has a place for them. He has prepared a place for them. Unfortunately, a lot of those places will be vacant someday. But he, in his infinite love and mercy, has prepared places for everyone. He wants them to come to him. He cares for them. He is indeed a good father. And he cares for his wheat, too. He wants it to thrive. He's not going to do anything at all to hurt it. And that's what we see in this parable. Now, the disciples, I guess, were puzzled by it as well. So I don't feel so bad if it didn't make total sense to me, because they come to Jesus as well and say, hey, can you explain this to us, boss? What's up with this? And he goes into then what these represent, of course. The good seed was sowed by the Son of Man. That's the believers, right? The field is the world. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and they are all around us, of course, trying to choke us out, trying to block the sunlight, trying to take our nutrients, things like that. But God is sort of waiting patiently, letting them grow side by side. We don't know the ratio of good seed to bad seed here. Is it the case where there's only a few good and lots of bad? Or is it mostly good seed with only a few weeds? Maybe it's 50-50. We don't know. But sometimes in this world, it might seem like we're one of the few wheat plants surrounded by weeds. And other times, like on Sunday mornings, I mean, in here, I'm hoping it's all wheat. Okay. Yeah, we all have a little bit of wheat in us, okay. But, I mean, yeah, we are gathered with brothers and sisters where we can build each other up, we can support each other, we can pray for each other, we can be there with each other, be there for each other. And that's the way it should be. God designed us as family. We are the body of Christ. And he will come to weed it out. He will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. When he comes at the end of the age and sends his angels among him, us, these angels are irresistible. You can try to put up all the fight you want. Oh, not going to matter. But Lord, I did this, but Lord, nope. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, if you're not living for him, it does not end well. So let us try to reach people so that they can be a part of the rejoicing, that they can be a part of the righteous that will shine like the sun. Now, we're not righteous of our own doing. We cannot make ourselves good enough. We cannot live the perfect life. Hard as we try, we're sinners. And we cannot exist in the presence of God. Nothing, dark or evil, no sin included, nothing that could exist in his presence. But Jesus made a way. By taking our sin upon him, by paying the price for us, he made a way that we can go into the very presence of the Father and dwell with him, as we all look forward to doing. Praise God for that, because it's nothing we can do. We have been saved by grace through faith, and this not of our own doing it. Nobody can boast, right? It's God's grace and our faith. That's the important part. And that's what we need to bring to others too, and tell them, hey, you don't have to live the perfect life. You can't live the perfect life, but you can believe. You can have faith. And God in his grace and his mercy will bring you in, and in the harvest, that final harvest, where it'll be nothing but the good, the wheat. There's sort of another parallel to this. Weeds. As I was thinking about that, weeding them out, I was thinking about, are there weeds in our lives? Oh, yeah. Stepping aside from the gospel now a little bit, just looking at our lives. Yeah, there's lots of weeds. And we have to try to get those things out of our lives because we want to live a better life. We want to live closer to God, to be sanctified. So we do what it says in Colossians then. Put to death, therefore. Uproot, if you will, right? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We see these weeds popping up in our lives that we should be trying to get rid of them so that the good could grow and flourish, right? Put to death or uproot whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Yeah. Before we gave our lives to Christ, many of us perhaps gave in to a lot of these things, but now we don't. We have put these things aside, right? We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. We no longer follow these ways. Paul continues, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God. What would that look like? Imagine how the love of God, how all-encompassing that is, how good, how pure that is. But the wrath of God is something I would not want to see or experience. That would truly be horrible. That wrath of God is coming. Here's the reassurance. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you're a new creation in Christ. There's still more to be done, though. You must also rid yourselves of all such things, such as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. These can still pop up. Believers can still have fits of anger. We try to fight against that, right? We're going to be tempted to slander or to use filthy language, things like that. But no, we do not do these things. Do not lie to each other. These are, again, other things we want to uproot. It would be nice if you could just sort of spray it all, you know. But no, we have to look at each of these things. As we're going to find out in Job later on, we hold it in our hand and decide, is it good or bad? Do we keep it or throw it? You have put on a new self. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17 right there, right? We are a new creation in Christ, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its image and creator. This new self, then, is not going to have any of these weeds. They're going to try to pop up, but we can't let them take root. We can't let them get beyond maybe even the sprouting. They're going to sort of sprout in your mind, right? That's where sin starts. A thought arises. You start thinking about it. You start looking at it, going, hmm. And then, you know, it can give way to full-blown sin, which can lead to death, of course. But if we can stop them in the early stages, isn't that easier? To stop them in the early stages rather than to let them start to bloom or something like that and cause bad fruit. We don't want that. So we got to identify these things, just like identifying the weeds among the good plants, and pull them out while they're still young, while they're just starting to sprout, to get rid of them. And then we can be part of this body of Christ, of course. And I love it here, again, this equality. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Other places he writes, male or female, we're all equal before God, all of us. None better than anybody else. Good thing to keep in mind. Continues, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's humble, humbling. The chosen people, originally the Jews, right, the Abrahamic covenant, but we've been grafted in. We are children of God as well. We are part of his chosen people. He's chosen us. Are we worthy? Of course not. But he's that loving. He is that good. And if we will receive and believe, as it said in John 1:12 there, we have that right to become his children, the children of God. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with the following. To clothe yourselves, you can see the clothing of a person. You can see what they're wearing, right? It's obvious to the world. We don't see the heart of the person. God does. He looks at the heart, of course. But the people around us, they're going to see what we're wearing. They're going to see how we're acting, what we're saying, and what we're doing. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have to represent him faithfully. And if we are a new person in Christ, if we've been born again, these things are going to define us. And they're going to be seen by those around us. We're going to be clothed with them. Compassion. That's Jesus right there. Always compassionate to others. Kindness. Be kind, like the church says. Humility. Gentleness and patience. Forbearance. Forgiveness. These are like the fruits of the Spirit that we looked at in Galatians. There's a lot of overlap here for sure. And these are what should define us as Christians. These are the good seed that's coming up within us. These are the things that we want to nurture. We want to fertilize. We want to weed around. We want to make sure they are watered and that they have adequate sunlight. We want these to grow in our life, that they can bear fruit for God's glory. That we would be seen as compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Bearing with each other and forgiving. Because God has forgiven us. How much has he forgiven us? Yeah, that, all these things are coming to your mind. He's forgiven you. All of it. Completely. And we ought to forgive in the same way, to forgive as he forgave us. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is the thing that's holding us all together, the glue that's holding these things together. Why are we compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient? Out of love. We love because he first loved us. So let us be defined by those things, that the world can see us, that we are accurately depicting Christians and Christ. None of us is perfect. We are going to sin. It's going to happen. And people are going to see that too. But when that happens, we confess. We repent. We come back and hit it again harder, right? Again, we're not perfect. Never will be. But some great things will happen if we're following him. As we heard in Job today, Job, a book that you associate with not good things, okay? But in the midst of it, Zophar is speaking here. And if you devote your heart to him, or prepare your heart, as it says in other translations, then stretch out your hands to him, to God, right? This is not to self. This is away from self. This is to God. We're stretching out to him. If you put away the sin that is in your hand, the sin that's right there, I can hold on to it. I could take it and give it a home, right? I don't want to. No, this is a weed that I'm holding right here. This is a sin. We don't want to hold on to that. But we have that choice. Every time those thoughts come up, we have a choice. And let us say, no thanks. I'm not that person anymore. So you put that sin, put away that sin that is in your hand. And allow no evil to dwell in your tent. Again, taking preventive measures here. So this is a bunch of if-thens. These are if you do this, devote your heart, if you stretch out your hand, if you put away the sin, if you allow no evil to dwell in your tent. Well, the if's got to be followed by a then, right? If-then statement. Then, free of fault, due to what Jesus did, you will lift up your face, you will stand firm and without fear. When the enemy comes against you, when the sin gets tempting, you're going to stand firm without fear. Because God himself stands by your side. Remember that. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water has gone by. Once that river's flown by, you never step in that same river twice, right? Those things are now downstream. They don't matter anymore. They're not going to come back upstream. They're done. The past is done. We can't change the past, but we can repent of it. And all those things will just wash away downstream. There's going to be new things coming down the river, of course, right? But they'll be gone. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. Because you're going to have a light in your life. God himself, right? You'll be secure because there is hope. Hope is one of the most valuable things you can have. People without hope, it's not good. But we have our hope All my hope is in Jesus, right? You'll look about you and take rest in safety. You'll lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. I mean, good things are going to happen. So let's try to identify those weeds in our lives. What are they? There are things that are trying to sprout up. There are things that are going to try to pop up. Things that are going to try to shade us out from God's light, right? That's what a weed will do if we let it get high enough. It's going to obstruct God's light. It's going to be robbing nutrients from us, right? Weeds rob the nutrients from the soil, from the good plants. So we have to identify these weeds and get rid of them in the small stages before they have a chance to rob the nutrients, to block the sun, and all these other things, to take away the water that would have been for us. Let us to identify those and get rid of them. And Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, each of us in our own individual lives, to identify the weeds that are trying to pop up, the things that are trying to separate us from you. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, just as the weeds would steal from the plants, kill them, and ultimately destroy them. Lord, help us to uproot these things. When we have them in our hand, to just say no thanks, to get rid of them, that we want to follow you, that we are defined by you, that we are Christians, defined by Christ. So thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your wanting for us to be a part of that harvest that we look forward to. In Jesus' name, amen.